You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The Money Zone is brought to you by Falkner Consulting, a lighthouse to steer you in the right direction.
Corporate financial planning, employee benefits, individual financial planning. What does this mean? Does it apply to me? What does it cost? And who do I trust? I'm as confused as a chameleon in a smarty box.
Relax. In a sea of confusion, a lighthouse brings calm, and all you need is someone to steer you in the right direction. Falkner Consulting is an independent financial planning practice with a strong blend of knowledge and ethics that forms the foundation of their long-term client relationships. They are independent brokers who will answer all your questions and complement your needs with appropriate advice and product solutions through their carefully selected product partners. Call them at 021-555-0757 or visit falknerconsulting.co.za. Falkner Consulting. A beacon when you need one.
Falkner Consulting is an authorized financial services provider.
And joining us on Zoom this afternoon is the man behind Falkner Consulting, Paul Falkner. And he comes and speaks to us about things on money on a monthly basis. Today he is going to be speaking to us about something that we've spoken about before, but something that has raised its head in the news yet again. And that is the two-pot system that affects pension and provident funds. Good afternoon, Paulie. How are you?
Unicorn, I'm fine. How you do?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. Nice haircut, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Did you lose a bet?
Thanks for the show.
Did you lose a bet?
No, it was overdue this morning.
You get to that point where now's the day. Yeah. And nothing else. Yeah. And you don't want to wait.
I see you haven't got there yet.
No, not yet. But nothing else is going to wait. It's got to be done now. Yes.
Today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, good to have you with us again this afternoon. And we did speak about this previously at some length, yeah. But I see that there are sort of news stories arising around this. So are you going to update us on the two-pot system?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it again because its implementation is imminent and it's by far the most significant change to retirement fund regulations in the 28 years I've been in the industry. Mm-hmm. And it's very topical. We're getting contacted by a lot of people. So I thought if we could maybe just kind of do a refresher on the two-pot system and clarify a couple of things that maybe we weren't able to clarify previously. So the two-pot system comes into operation on the 1st of September. So we're about 4 or 5 weeks away from implementation. It affects all pension funds, provident funds, and retirement annuity funds. So, you know, even listeners who are not working with an employer that has a retirement fund in place, it may very well apply to them. And to take a step back, the two-pot system's got two outcomes that it's wanting to achieve. The one thing is that it's wanting to improve this retirement savings rate for South Africans. We've all seen the figure of about 6% of South Africans retiring comfortably. Mm-hmm. So the first thing it wants to do is improve that retirement outcome by forcing members to preserve a certain part of their fund until retirement age. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that. And then secondly, it wants to give members controlled access to their fund while they're still employed. And with pension funds and provident funds, I mean, that just breaks a golden rule in South Africa that you just have never been able to access your employer retirement fund while you're still working. So that's the two objectives, improve the retirement outcome and give people access to the fund or part of their fund in the event of financial hardship. Having said that, there's no compulsion to indicate what the reason for your withdrawal is if you're wanting to withdraw money. It's called the two-pot system, but essentially if anyone that's listening to the show now has already got a retirement annuity, a pension fund, or a provident fund, it's actually a three-pot system and could potentially be a four-pot system for them. And I'll go into that. So firstly, the three main components are what's called the vested pot, the savings pot, and the retirement pot. So the vested pot is all the money that you got in a fund plus all the growth you ever get on it as at the 31st of August this year. That's the vested pot. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a pension fund or a provident fund, your old rules apply to that money.
Okay.
So whenever we see a change to regulations in the pension fund industry, they never apply retrospectively.
Okay.
So So you've got your vested pot, which I'll go into in a second, and then your savings pot and your retirement pot. From the 1st of September, you will only contribute money to the savings pot and the retirement pot. You will no longer contribute to your vested pot or your existing pot of money. 1/3 of contributions will go into the retirement, the savings pot, excuse me, and you'll be able to access that money, 100% of the savings pot, with only two rules. The first rule is you can only access it once every tax year. And the second rule is that it must be a minimum of 2,000 Rand per withdrawal. So 1/3 of all contributions from the 1st of September go into your savings pot. They could have called it a spending pot. And you'll be able to access 100% of the funds in your savings pot once per tax year, minimum 2,000 Rand. Your retirement pot, which is where 2/3 of the contributions will go from the 1st of September, you cannot access that money even if you change employers. That must be preserved until retirement age. Importantly, when you do retire, the money that's in the retirement pot, you have to annuitize or buy a pension with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody continuously draws down on their savings pot, and at retirement age, there's very little or no money in the savings pot. When they retire, they won't have access to any cash because they would have drawn that money down while they were working. So your retirement pot, you can access in cash either while you're working or at retirement. Your retirement pot, you have to annuitize at retirement.
Okay.
Now, importantly, when you're drawing money out of your savings pot while you're still working, that withdrawal will be taxed at your marginal rate. What does that mean? If somebody earns 15,000 Rand a month and they draw 5,000 Rand out of their savings pot, in that month they'll be taxed as if they'd earned 20,000 Rand.
Okay.
The employer will tax the 15,000 and the retirement fund will tax the 5,000 in that month.
Okay.
So it's quite punitive. Your minimum rate of tax you're going to pay on a withdrawal is 18% and your maximum is 45%.
Okay.
If you preserve your savings pot until retirement age, you then draw it down, you'll then get the retirement fund tax table. So your first 550,000 will be tax-free.
Okay.
Your next band 18%, your next band 27%. So there's a huge tax incentive to preserve as much of your savings pot as possible to retirement. So you want to preserve it because from a tax perspective and also from the perspective of having some liquidity in retirement. You draw all your savings pot while you're working, you're going to have no cash at retirement. So that's really important. When you get to retirement age, on the retirement pot, the portion that you must buy a pension with, there will be something called the de minimis, 247,500. They paid some guy a lot of money to come up with 247,500 and not 250,000.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you've got 247,500 or less, you won't be forced to buy a pension.
Okay.
You can then just put that in cash. On death, the portion that you have in your retirement pot will be paid out immediately. So it's not going to have to hang around until you would have turned 65. It'll be paid out immediately. Or if you emigrate or you change employment because of the expiry of a work permit. So in other words, you go back to one of the SADC countries or wherever you come from. You'll also then be able to access your retirement pot. I just want to talk about the vested pot quickly. This is the portion that your value on the 31st of August, the day before the implementation, plus all the growth you ever get on that.
Basically the history.
The history, the legacy money, old rules money.
Yeah.
If you are on a pension fund, if you leave your employer, you can draw all that money in cash. But at retirement, you can only take 1/3 of it in cash and 2/3 as a pension. It's normal pension fund rules.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm telling you this because you don't need people worrying about their money being tied up, the existing money, so they're quickly going to resign at the 31st of August. Yeah. You don't have to do that. If you resign or you get dismissed or you get retrenched, all the fund value on the 31st of August, you'll always be able to draw that in cash. But as with your existing rules, when you get to retirement, that's 1/3 cash, 2/3 you must buy a pension.
Mm.
That's simple. A provident fund is a bit more complicated. Because you might recall there was a change in provident fund rules on the 1st of March 2021, where they said they want a provident fund to look like a pension fund at retirement. So if you were a member of a provident fund before the 1st of March 2021, that value, which is called the vested component, vested rights, going to confuse anybody. But all your value up until the 1st of March 2021, you can have 100% in cash if you resign and 100% in cash if you retire. The portion from the 1st of March 2021 to the implementation of the two-pot system on the 1st of September, you can have 100% in cash if you resign, but only one-third of it in cash if you retire. So it's incredibly complicated for existing, particularly existing Provident Fund members. And it's kind of difficult to explain that without having a slider. But I think as we get used to it and as people see their statements when they'll refer to these different pots going forward. Just two other things. With every one of these retirement funds, the withdrawal that a member makes will be a transaction directly between him and her and the fund. So it's not going to go through the HR office and then through our office and then to the umbrella fund. All of it's going to be on cell phone app directly between the member and the fund.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would just be an admin nightmare. Nobody spoke about admin fees for processing these withdrawals until Alexander Forbes, who they're the largest pension fund administrators in South Africa. 2 weeks ago, they came out and said they are going to charge an admin fee to process these withdrawals, somewhere between 1% and 2% of the value of the withdrawal. Suddenly, all the other platforms jumped up and said, we may charge admin fees. The only platform that's come out and said they won't charge any admin fees are Allan Gray. So we don't yet know whether there is going to be an admin fee component. The last thing that I want to talk about is the seeding provisions. Now, if you understand that contributions to the savings pot, which is the pot that you're allowed to draw from, your first contribution will only go in there in September this year. So you would have nothing to draw in September because you've only got one contribution in and it probably isn't 2,000 Rand yet, which is the minimum. But there's a seeding provision that says that on the 1st of September, on or around the 1st of September, 10% of everybody's existing fund value will be transferred from the vested pot to their savings pot so that everybody has got funds they can withdraw in September. But it'll be 10% capped at 30,000 Rand. So no one in South Africa is going to get more than 30,000 Rand transferred from their existing pot to their new savings pot that they can access. 10% to a maximum of 30,000 Rand. So the only people that aren't going to be able to withdraw in September is somebody whose fund value, total fund value, is less than 20,000 Rand because their 10% that's transferred will be less than 2,000 Rand and the minimum withdrawal is 2,000 Rand. So there are some people that are going to be disappointed, but that's just the way the regulations were written.
It's very, very complicated.
It is very complicated. Very, very complicated.
I can understand the reasoning behind it, and a lot of this was driven by people who got into financial distress in COVID, and they felt that they had all this money in a pension fund, but yet they were struggling to put food on the table, and here's this money sitting in these accounts. So I understand the motivation and the thinking behind it, and I think that. There is some innovative thinking. Unfortunately, the complications don't really, to my mind, Paul, come from the new system. So anybody going forward from the 1st of September, there's nothing complicated about it. It's all these other funds because we've got the pre-2021 Pension and Provident Fund rules, and then we've got post that between now, then and all of this gets very, very complicated. So why I'm saying that is listening to you, I get the gist of it. If I was making some decisions right now about my retirement planning, or I was in a position where I had to, make some adjustments. I certainly wouldn't try and do that on my own or directly with the pension fund. I would go to the broker that like yourself and say, listen, okay, this is my situation. How can you help me? Now, two questions. One, are you prepared to do that?
Yeah.
And secondly, you have a right to charge a fee for that service, correct? And what is that fee?
Yeah. So, look, I mean, any fee between us and a client is a negotiated fee before anybody incurs any expense.
Yeah.
I think from our point of view, we want to first get a handle on how simple this process is going to be or how complicated it's going to be. Because, we don't believe in just charging fees for anything. But I just want to go back on something that you said. The origin of the two-pot system did come from COVID.
Mm.
And it was when Tito Mboweni was finance minister, and he said, well, how can you have a situation where people are being short-paid or furloughed? They've got 100,000 rand in a retirement fund, but the kids are starving.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. And then they said, look, let's just relook the whole thing. Now, the reason, I mean, the first point I made is that it's going to improve people's retirement outcomes. That's specifically for young people. If you think about it, if somebody who's 20 years old joins a retirement fund on the 1st of September this year, that person would be forced to preserve two-thirds of their retirement fund for 45 years.
Yes.
And that's better than what's happening at the moment, where people are drawing out 100% all the time. So there's kind of a given.
You change jobs seven times in your career, and most people just use the money.
Yeah, and your last real job, you get it at 45 or something. Yeah. So you've got half the amount of time to save. So I think that's quite correct. I think although the regulation doesn't stipulate that you have to give a reason, you need to be very careful for two reasons. Well, for three reasons. One, if you make withdrawals out of the savings pot, you could have a large portion of that taxed.
Yes.
Secondly, you end up at retirement without enough money. And thirdly, if you draw money out for a flat screen TV, what happens if later on that year or the next year you have a genuine financial option?
Correct.
And now your safety net's gone.
Mm.
So everyone's going to have to be pretty disciplined about it. Mm. The industry as a whole is expecting about 5 billion of outflows in September, which is a lot of money. Mm. We're just going to have to wait and see. All the umbrella fund platforms claim that they're up and ready. I think the big concern for everybody is SARS, because when the member loads up their withdrawal, the first place that goes is to SARS to calculate the marginal rate of tax and to advise Liberty, Allan Gray, Sunlum, Momentum, whoever it is, how much tax they must deduct.
Mm.
So Liberty will have only their fund members they need to service. Sunlum will only have their fund members, but SARS has got the whole country's fund members to service and issue tax directives.
Mm.
So, and when the proposed date of the 1st of September was promulgated, the first people to object were SARS.
Mm.
Mm, and politically, they kind of dealt with that and said, no, we have to go with the 1st of September.
Yeah.
So SARS haven't indicated that they're not ready, but it would just be interesting to see if they can handle that volume of requests.
That'll be interesting. Another question quickly, Paul. So somebody who is post-retirement now, somebody who has bought an annuity, those annuities do not fall into the same system?
No. So there's two things. Yeah, so this applies to products that build up a retirement capital. So your pension fund, your provident fund, your retirement annuity, not your living annuity or your annuity.
Okay.
But there's one other thing that you've just reminded me to talk about, and that is if any member was 55 years old or older on the 1st of March 2021, the default is that they are out of the two-pot system. Okay. They only opt. Okay. However, they can opt into the two-pot system. The only reason they would opt in is because they might want to access money while they're working. If they stay out of two-pot system, it's old rules, they can't access money while they're working. So they may choose to opt into the two-pot system. 55 or older on the 1st of March 2021.
Okay. Is there a deadline as to when you have to make that decision, or can you make
it? Good question. No, there isn't. You could remain out of the two-pot system, and in 2 years' time, you suddenly need some money, you just opt into the two-pot system. But you can't then opt out of the two. Once you're in the two-pot, you're in the two.
Okay. Yeah. The other thing is...
For people under 55, they don't have the option. They have to be in two. But for those members, if they don't draw out their savings pot, they're in exactly the same position that they were before two-pot. Mm. So there's no downside for being put into two-pot.
Okay. A retirement annuity, I know, is almost your private pension fund. All of these apply to a retirement annuity as well. Even vested.
Yes, the only retirement annuities it doesn't apply to is the old retirement annuities where you could include risk benefits. You could put life cover and disability on them. But technically, they won't work. But any pure investment retirement annuity will be dealt with in exactly the same way as a pension fund.
Even if it's a paid-up retirement annuity?
Yes, so you won't have future contributions going in. You'll have the seeding capital, the 10% to the maximum of 30,000, even if you're not contributing to that retirement annuity. And the rules in terms of the 10% to a maximum of 30,000 and one withdrawal per year and minimum 2,000, those are applied at fund level. So if someone's got a pension fund and a retirement annuity, they would have seeding capital from the pension fund and from the retirement annuity, and they could make a withdrawal from each of them.
Okay.
It's applied at per fund.
So that would apply if you've got a retirement annuity with Company A, with Company B and Company C, all three would be dealt with individually.
You make a withdrawal from each one of them, and that rule applies to each fund. Minimum 2,000 with no maximum, but one withdrawal per tax year per fund.
Interesting.
So there are people that can make multiple withdrawals from the 1st of September.
Very interesting. Paul, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. I think it's not often that you're going to hear me say too many complimentary things about government. But I think on the financial front, we've done okay as a country, and we've had some really smart heads in there and prevented some real dodos like, you know, the four-day wonder von Rooyen getting in. We've really had some innovative thinking, and we've done okay. I compliment the South African government, the financial guys, for coming up with something like this, because again, the reasons why were real, and the outcome that they expect, it has to improve retirement funding going forward, and people being then less dependent on the state. So I think it's a good move. Very smart. Very smart indeed.
I agree with you. And I think the reason for it is that there was genuine engagement between the retirement industry and government.
Yeah.
It wasn't lip service, submit your comments by the 31st of July and we'll ignore them. There was genuine engagement back and forth over quite a few years on it. So, and I think that's why you got to the outcome. I mean, there's a couple of tweaks that I would have brought in to say on the first withdrawal, it shouldn't have to be a minimum of 2,000, because there are people that will have a genuine need and they'll have 19,200 in their account on the 31st of August, which means they only get 1,920 seeding capital. It's below 2,000, they're not allowed to withdraw. But that, you know, those are fairly minor things. But I think the bigger picture, it's pretty good. Let's see if the various umbrella fund platforms are able to administer it and if SARS can process the tax directives.
Definitely. And compliments to them. Maybe things would have been different if they engaged with the medical industry before they came up with the NHI. In the same fashion that they've done here with the pension industry. Credit where credit is due. I think they've done a good job with this one. Complicated, but there are people like you. There are people like you that can explain it to one.
Yeah, and if anybody needs just some advice and you want me to help you, we're going to do that. You know, we don't charge Zone Radio listeners. It helps if you've got your member benefit statement, a fairly recent one that you can send through to me, and I can do an estimate of what will be in your savings pot in September, and I can talk to you about the rules around your pre-March 2021 money, how that's going to be dealt with, and then pot between March 2021 and 1st of September this year. I can explain that to you in fairly layman's terms.
All right, folks, there is an offer from a man who's an expert in the field and a very respected expert in this field, And you can get hold of Paul, and he will certainly see what he can do to get your head around what it is, because I'm sure that there are many people sitting listening this afternoon who may be a little bit less or more confused than I am at the moment. But we do have an expert and he will do that without any cost. Paul, thank you for that offer. How do people get hold of you?
Best way is just to call the office on 021-518-2060 or paul@falkerconsulting.co.za.
There we go. That's how you get hold of Paul, and you can chat to him about everything. Paul, again, thank you very, very much for your time this afternoon and for coming in monthly to chat to us. It is truly, truly appreciated.
Nice to chat again. Thank you.
Take care.
Yes, you too. Cheers. Bye now.
Bye.
The Money Zone was brought to you by Falker Consulting, a beacon of light when you need one. Corporate financial planning, employee benefits, individual financial planning. What does this mean? Does it apply to me? What does it cost? And who do I trust? I'm as confused as a chameleon in a smarty box.
Relax. In a sea of confusion, a lighthouse brings calm, and all you need is someone to steer you in the right direction. Falker Consulting is an independent financial planning practice with a strong blend of knowledge and ethics that forms the foundation of their long-term client relationships. They are independent brokers who will answer all your questions and complement your needs with appropriate advice and product solutions through their carefully selected product partners. Call them at 021-555-0757 or visit falkerconsulting.co.za. Falker Consulting, a beacon when you need one.
Falker Consulting is an authorized financial services provider.